Well, without further ado then, let's have Pastor Gomez come and take over Sunday School Hour, and we have all the young folks stay up here this morning.
Thank you, preacher. God bless you.
Proverbs in your Bible, please. Thank you so much for being here on this morning. It's wonderful, and I certainly appreciate you being here, and it's good to be back at Old Path. It really is. Who's brother missed a deer? Okay, brother, don't hurt my babies now. You swore. Trash your car, but don't hit my babies, okay?
No.
It's where my animal rights activist right now. I have some little fawns all over my property, and I call them little babies. Come here, I talk to them. You got to have a relationship with them before you kill them. But anyway, I always tell them, my wife said, "You're crazy." I said, "Well, I had to call them my babies," and then I always talk to them. I said, "When you get about 5 and a half years old with a big rack, you're dead." But anyway, so it's such a joy to be here. I love you, Pastor. Love this church. Pray for it down through the years. All right. I'm sorry, my sound man tells me to do something back there, so I'll do it. I think, how's that? Is that good? Are we good now? No? All right, I must have had it on to start with. There you go. Now we're good? Okay. You can go back to sleep now. Psalms 1 in your Bibles, please. Such a joy to be here. It really is. I love Iowa. In fact, we're residents of Iowa. And so, Lillian, good to see you also. I'm glad that she's here. Bless you. It's good. And some of the kids that came to school, and we're planning on having school. You better be back, too. Anyway, we're planning on having school. I don't want to get into it this morning. I may take a swat at it, but I've been preaching on it since March, all of this tomfoolery that's going on. I don't want to say a whole lot about it, but it's tomfoolery. Now, don't think that I think that the virus is not serious or that it's not real. It's real. It's serious. But what's going on in our country and this world is stinking satanic. So I want you to listen very carefully. I don't want anybody talking. I want you to listen to me now. Make eye contact with me. My father always told me, if you can't look a person in the face, you got something wrong in your life. Now listen very carefully. You better be careful when you're watching what you're watching today, that you're passing it on as political, or that's the Democrats talking, that's the liberals talking. You need to look at it and say, that's Satan talking, that's satanic stuff.
Right.
Are y'all listening to me now? Because we've gone from killing babies in the womb, to then taking them at the trimester, pulling them out of the mother's womb, sticking a scissor in the back of the head, sucking their brains out, to now having the baby, putting them on the table, and just let them be comforted and let them die. Anybody that would vote for that is satanic. It has nothing to do with political parties, folks.
Right.
That's not even human. Don't get quiet on me now. It's not even human. You're supposed to be Bible believers. You either believe what the book says or not. That is not even human to do that. So we need to understand what we're looking at. And when you think two hairy-legged men can walk down the aisle and that be a marriage, that's demonic. That has nothing to do with political parties. So we need to understand what's going on. And when you know the statistics and you study out and you have some knowledge and wisdom, you'll understand that a lot of stuff that's going on today, when you're shutting down the country and shutting down the world for something that's less deaths than other diseases, you got to ask yourself a question, what is all this about? And so in March, I was in Texas, came back, and I stood in my pulpit early March and laid all this out, and I was right spot on all the way back in March, revealing everything that's being revealed now, I said in March. I'm not trying to brag, I'm just trying to say that God sometimes gives people wisdom and understanding, and that's what I pray for every day, wisdom and understanding. And in so doing, God will show you some things. Preachers ought to be that way, Pastor. We ought to be that way where God reveals stuff to us that some people don't see. We need to be seers. And but what we have done in our country is we have raised fools. Our education system, our public education system, which I was a part of, raised fools. Now, you got to understand, I didn't come on with Noah. I'm not quite that old. Just right after him. But in our public school, we read the King James Bible every day in our public school. We had prayer every day in our public school. Our teachers, our biology, she says, listen, kiddos, the Board of Education said that we have to teach this. So I got to teach this theory of evolution. And I'm sorry, kids, but we have to. They were apologizing for teaching evolution. Now there is no teaching of creation, and evolution is a fact in the public school. See how that thing has drifted? We have drifted. And so that's what's happening in our country. We've gone from this great country that stood for God and was built upon the Bible. Now we've drifted too far, so far to the left, it's crazy. Well, we actually believe that even some of the Democrats way back yonder is more conservative than some of the Republican conservatives now. Sad we have gone that way. Because the public education systems, their pulpit is their classroom, and they have taught communism, socialism, and America is such a bad place to be. If you think it's such a bad place to be, trust me, I have enough money. I really do. I'll put you on a one-way ticket wherever you want to go, but you cannot return back to this great country. I've been all over this world. I've preached all over the world. And every time I come back here, I'd want to kiss the ground. With all of its fallacies, America's not perfect. But buddy, I have been everywhere. And when I get home, I can't wait to get back to the freedom, at least to this point, that I've experienced. Fools. Right. Proverbs chapter 1. Pick it up, if you would, in verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorner delighted in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Watch it carefully. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Now, I want you to stare at that real quick, if you would please. And it talks about a progression. We'll get into it as much as we can. Preacher, when do I need to quit?
10 till.
All right. But I want you to see there, it talks about the progression of a fool. But then I want you to look and see, and I want you to circle the word turn. Do you see it? Turn you at my reproof. Proverbs 1, 22 and 23. Turn you at my reproof. Now, I don't want to take the time to read down through that thing. But if you read down through that thing, you'll see that when you do not turn at God's reproof, look at me carefully and listen. God's reproof is when God has to interrupt your little plans. A car wreck. Whatever reason happened. Sickness. Fight. Something. God is tapping you on the shoulder. There is no accidents in the Christian life. So when God does that, you got to stop a minute and say, okay, now Lord, what is this? What are you trying to tell me? If there's no accidents in the Christian life, He's speaking to you every day of your life. You're His child. He wants you. He loves you. He wants to do something for you. So when He brings a reproof in your life, at that time, He wants you to see it, analyze it, have wisdom, knowledge, and then turn from that. You ought to write these things down real quick. I just looked at some notes inside of my Bible here, and I'm going to say more about it here, but I have here in the Bible, simple. The Bible talks about the simple, talks about the fool, talks about the wise, talks about the scorner. The simple doesn't know better. The simple doesn't know better. Fools know better, but doesn't do better. They don't do right. The wise know better and does better. The scorner knows better, doesn't do better, and then tears down those who do better.
Right.
That is a fool. That's a scorner. So we need to understand that thing. Now, there's a progression there. So I want you to understand that turn. Now, just hear me out, and then you can study it later, and then we'll get into this fool thing. If you look at it about when you turn, look what he said. He said, turn you at my reproofs. So these little accidents that come in our life, these little taps on the shoulders, the Lord's trying to get us to turn right there. It's called repentance, of which this nation knows little about, and our churches even less.
Right.
He wants us to turn. If God is trying to speak to us, He wants us to stop it long enough, have the wisdom and knowledge then to turn. Could it be that all of this that took place in America is God Almighty saying, America, I'm sick of the baby killing. I'm sick of all this sodomizing. I'm sick of all that. I want you to turn and repent so I can bring revival to America. Could that be it? I don't know. I've tried to connect the dots. This thing's moving too fast for me, man. And I normally can connect the dots. The two preachers will be here after me. You ask them if Brother Gomez cannot connect the dots. I can always do it. But man, this thing is moving too fast for me. Like, good night, what's going on? Just every week something else. Are you with me now? So we got this man protecting his home, right? He and his wife come out with their gun. They just seized his gun. How in the world can... So we can't even protect our home from rioters? Don't climb up on me, folks. We can't protect our home from rioters? And they're packing guns and chop and nobody doing anything about it? And hundreds of Black Panthers showing up at Table Rock or whatever it's called, Georgia, Stone Mountain, Georgia, threatening everybody to come get us with guns. Nobody tells him anything. But a man that's defending his own home, his multi-million dollar home, he's going to be investigated and the guns will be seized from him. There's something just crazy about that. By the way, if that doesn't disturb you, you're part of them. You're part of the problem. Because you're a fool. And God talks about that. Nobody in this room wants to be called a fool. I definitely don't want to. It's one of the derogatory things. But I want you to look at it, preacher. It says turn. When we don't turn, I want you to look at the progress. If you'll look, and you'll study this later. God said, when you don't turn at my reproofs, what I'll do, I'll end up laughing at your calamity. Now, here's the thing about it. All of us in this room now, we have a God that's not the God of the Bible. We created a God in our own mind, which is no more than idolatry. I was raised and born and raised a Roman Catholic. I knelt before the little idols and prayed until I got saved, understood I wasn't supposed to do all that stuff. Then I end up being an independent Baptist, found out the independent Baptists do the same thing. We make a God up in our own mind that's not the God of the Bible. Right. Yeah. See, because the God that you serve, he's a loving, kind God. He would never do anything like that. Well, you need to know, you need to get saved. Get saved and you'll understand the God of the Bible. And he says, when you don't turn, I'll never give you my spirit. Look what it says. I'll never pour out my spirit upon you. I'll never give you, make you know my words. You'll not do it. You'll end up being a fool. And what'll happen, you'll continue to do what you want to do and you'll try to do it by your own might. And I'll laugh when your calamity goes. Your God is laughing at you. And here's what happens, folks. Listen carefully. When God begins to laugh at you, it's about time you come to us pastors asking us to bail your fat out of the fire. My marriage is about to be destroyed. Well, I know, but you've been destroying it for 20 years and had too much pride to come to us to help us. Yeah. So we can help you. And all those little fights and stuff was reproof that God is trying to show you need some help here. There's something that's dislodged somewhere. Would you come get help? But we never do. And then all of a sudden God's laughing at it. When God's laughing at you, it ain't nothing a preacher can do about it, preacher. And that's what happens a lot of times. Right. Now let's move on to the fool. Because that's what happens. Fool is a word that's despised. It grates the nerves. Psalms 14 verse 1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. So you must understand that what's going on in our nation right now, that's what they're saying. There is no God. There is no judgment. So I don't have to worry about anything. I can do whatever I want to do because all I'm going to do is die and turn back to dirt and the worm's going to eat me and that's it. There is no God. There is no judgment. There is no eternity. We talk to them often. If you're a soul winner, you've run across folks that talk that way, right? And so we need to understand that God called these folks fools. A fool that said there's no God. Then in Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, the Bible says, thou fool, this night shall be required of thee. You know the rich farmer who said, I have barns and they filled. I'm going to tear them down, build bigger barns. I got all this stuff. Stuff don't make you right. And stuff don't make you spiritual. Right. And stuff doesn't say that you're not a fool. You might be a good businessman, but you're still a fool. When you discount God, because he said, this night thy soul shall be required. Everybody in this room need to understand that we're God's creation, and one of these days he's going to come calling for our soul. Amen. And if you're saved, you're going with him. If not, you have predetermined yourself to hell is what you've done. So we need to understand that fool thing. Now, the word fool here in this passage is without throughout Proverbs means spiritually insensitive clod who lives independently of the control of the Holy Spirit of God. Everybody here, when you got saved, the Spirit of God came in and dwelt you. Now, this is Sunday school. I'm trying to teach you something. The Spirit of God came in and dwelt you. If you're truly born again, you can't be unborn again.
Amen.
So the Spirit of God came and took his abode with it indwelling. Now, I don't know about you. You have your own testimony. You give your own testimony. I'm going to tell you about this wicked, vile sinner when I got saved 20 years old. Wild as a March hare. Hellraiser. Drunk. Fought everywhere. Fight. That's all I did. And when I got saved, somebody moved in that told me all the things that I was doing was wrong. And from that day, every day after that, I heard this voice telling me, don't. Do and don't. Are you listening to me? Do and don't. Do and don't. So it was a thing that I understood that somebody was speaking to me that never spoke to me before. Because the Bible says, ye are of your father the devil before you were saved. So I just obeyed, you know, Satan before I was saved without even hearing his voice. Just naturally. Are y'all with me now? These precious little ones. She's such a cute one. This one right here with the. I'm going to take her home because Miss Kim would kiss all the sugar off her cheeks. She's looking at me and said, please no. Anyway, so, how innocent, right? I mean, just innocent. Precious. And those children are born. They're not born a fool. With a little help from friends and their parents, we train them to be one. All of us in this room have done foolish things, which makes us a fool. All of us. But see, there got to come a time where you grow up. Little Precious, she's just going around. She's got her little, she had something in her hand. I don't know, a little purse. Let me see it. Yeah, a horse. That's what I figured. As long as it's not a deer, sweetie. And so, got a little purse and little shoes, and she's just all decked out. She's ready to go. She's innocent, see. She's an innocent soul. But we're not born a fool. And then we end up, but we all do foolish things. And the truth of the matter is, we have done things that sometimes we don't want to be. But preacher, the thing about it, when the Spirit of God came and indwelt us, that's residence. That's not dominance. So we need to understand the difference in residence and dominance. And this is being filled with the Spirit of God, which the Independent Baptist movement, for some reason, was scared to death of the charismatics, I guess, so we don't even talk about being filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible talks about that. That's filling and refill and refill. And that's a constant thing. The Bible talks about it being a linear thing. Not resident dominance. It's not how much of the Holy Ghost you have. Because when we got saved, we got all of Him.
Right.
It's how much does He have of you. Now we're talking rubber meets the road, man. Because when you give Him your all, then He can use you. That's the reason why some preachers use more than others. This is why some Christians are used more than others. Some of the best Christians I've ever met have not been preachers. They've been laymen who love God. They're sold out, lock, stock, and barrel. Listen one more time. That fool is a clod that just don't care about anything and could care less about being controlled with the Spirit of God. When the Holy Ghost of God, did y'all hear that word? Holy Ghost of God. Not worldly, holy go. So if you're living holy and your attitude is holy and you're living holy, you'll understand what being controlled by the Holy Spirit is. Now, folks, listen, if you've never dealt with this, you better thank God you haven't. But some of us preachers, we've dealt with demon-possessed people. It's a freaky thing. It's crazy. It really is. You wouldn't even understand it. And I'm not trying to spook you out today, but I'm talking about little bitty skinny girls that would take a 350-pound man and throw him against a wall. I mean, how does that happen? Nobody shouldn't have that strength. Something did that. So I want to be spooky, but there's such a thing as demon possession. But there's also a thing about being possessed by the Spirit of God, and that's what He wants. He wants you to be filled with the Spirit of God. He wants dominance over your life, and He wants you to. And when you don't do that, you end up doing your own thing, and the Bible calls you a fool. And so you must understand that most of you in this room, if you come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, this is what your friends and loved ones said. You're just a stinking fanatic. Now think about that for a minute. When I got saved, living like a devil, everybody was cool. My kinfolk was very, very cool with me, man, when I was going to the family reunions and getting drunk and fighting. Boy, I was great. When I got saved and stopped all that, they just thought that it was great. You're fanatics. 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 Now, I was a fanatic because I got saved and stopped that stuff, started going to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But they're not fanatics by walking down the aisle and taking a wafer and drinking pure wine and thinking that it turned into the body and blood of Jesus Christ when they ate it. That's not fanatical. Wow. I'd rather be called fanatic by the world than a fool by God Almighty. And I want you to see what it says here. So the Bible traces the development of fool, and we should look to it ourselves. Please remember that fool always lives as though there is no God and there is no eternity. Can y'all say amen right there? Some of you that were saved late in life, remember when we were living in sin, man, we didn't even think about eternity. We were just thinking about a good time. And when a person does that, they're lost. And when I got saved, I began to think about eternity and think about, man, I'm going to live today for eternity. So let's make a few qualifying statements, and then we'll cover some ground if we can, and we don't have much time. So, number one, no one is born a fool. No one. Fools are self-made. With a little help from friends and parents, fool can be produced. Go to Proverbs 22, if you would, please. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Proverbs 22, 15. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Look at it carefully. Foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child, but a rod of correction shall drive it from him. There's a way that you can get foolishness out of a child. Y'all listen to me carefully, please. God, I don't want to pick on my little sweetheart. She's too sweet. But when she was born, she was totally innocent. Think about it for a minute. That's why when a child dies, or premature death, or stillborn, they're cared for by God. You got to sin after them. That's why she can't be saved until she comes to knowledge after the similitude of Adam, that she's a sinner. That's when she needs to be saved. So she's still in that innocent stage. But she's not born a fool. And I'm not slamming you, brother, but every little things that we do, all of the little things we do sometimes, the children pick up on. Mom, Dad, are you with me now? And the book says, now, as innocent as she is and as sweet as I want to take her home and give her to Kim, foolishness is bound up in her. Now, if you don't believe the Bible, throw your book away, but it's bound up in him. To me, preacher, that's talking about like a seed, a corn, a bean, or whatever. That seed, some of you have gardens, that seed is bound up until you put it in the ground, the right elements, then it springs forth. And so you water it, you fertilize it, and then it springs forth. So foolishness is bound up in her. So what happens is our children sometimes will do foolish things. So what are we supposed to do? Time out. Now, we used to have timeouts at my house. When my dad was beating on me, I said, "Time out, Dad. That's enough. Listen carefully, please. This is what the psychologists have tried to teach our people. Throw that book away. Don't believe God. Don't believe the rod. We're going to drive it from them. Believe time out. Let's have time out. We've been spocking them instead of spanking them.
Right.
The book says the rod of correction will drive it. It's not beating, folks. That's correction. That's exactly what God does us. Listen carefully. It's exactly what God does us. The chastening of the Lord, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth.
Amen.
And if you're not chastened by the Lord, you're bastards and not sons. You're illegitimate. You're trying to say you're Christian, but you're getting away with everything and never getting spanked for it. So what you're saying, when you don't spank your child, you're actually a better father than my God? I don't believe. So you need to get a hold of that and understand that very clearly. So the book says that if we're not careful, we're going to end up raising those fools. And this is what happens a lot of times, preacher. We say, well, you're just being a boy. Well, there's a difference in being a boy. I remember my daddy allowed me to be a boy. Boys turn into men. We're now producing not little boys, but little girls out of our little boys. We're feminizing a whole generation. And it's a shame, and I won't get into that because I could stay there for about 2 hours. But you got to be careful of making that statement, he's just a boy. There's a difference in a boy climbing a backstop or climbing a tree or doing the boyish things. versus him sowing his wild oats and saying, well, he's just a boy, just being a boy. No, he's being an evil boy that needs to be corrected. So we need to understand that's the foolishness. So it talks about being bound up, that foolishness is bound up like a seed, and most of the time all it needs is watering, but it doesn't need watering, preacher. It needs a rod. Look at it, a rod every time the seed sprouts, a little sprout. So what happens to the children at times is that will manifest, that foolishness will manifest in our life. You know what's really sad about us adults? We think we got it all down, and we don't, do we? Every now and again, we do some, what in the world was I thinking? Right? But we're old enough, listen carefully, we're old enough to understand that we did something pretty stupid. I'm a resident of Iowa now, but I was on a farm and just going down the road. Preachers, like, I'd leave after Sunday and I'd drive 6 hours to the farm, and I was going down the back roads to my farm, and I saw a bobcat in the road, and he jumped off. I said, man, if I go a little faster, maybe we'll see some more. So I sped up, you know, in this back gravel road. Brother, you might have dodged a deer. I didn't dodge one of my babies. Did a good job. $9,000 on my truck. I've never had a wreck in my life. I did $9,000 hitting a big fat doe, and I never got her to eat her. Couldn't find her. Foolish. It's stupid. I'm going, why did I have to? I didn't have to do this. It's 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm just getting here. I'm by myself. I'm not in a hurry to go nowhere. The farm is right there, right down the road, just a half a mile, and I decided to speed up and foolishness. $9,000 is what it costs me to be a stinking fool. Now, folks, listen carefully now. You might be a better Christian than I don't know, but every now and again I do foolish things. And we're at least old enough for God to point that out and said, you did a foolish thing. But a child is not that way. That's why the rod of correction will correct them. God will correct us because we're adults. Now, I want you to look at it very carefully, please. Some of you think that, you know, these little seeds will sprout up, and if you don't take care of it when it's a small sapling, it'll grow up into a full-grown tree, and then you try to chop it down with a butter knife, and that just doesn't work. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Emotional and mental handicap are to be loved and nurtured. I'm not trying to toot my own horn. This is God's honest truth, and the Lord hearing everything I'm saying. Before I was a Christian, I've always loved mentally handicapped. When I was in school, when I was in high school, the kids in high school that were kind of shunned by others, I befriended them. My parents taught me at least that much decency, and we were all lost. And so that one old girl there, she's tough, preacher. She's built like you. And Gail, man, I liked her. She's a tough gal. And I wanted to befriend her because if I ever got in a fight, I needed her to back me up. So she'd have made a great Iowa farm girl. And so anyway, nobody liked her because she just... Edible, slow, retarded people. I've always gravitated them and befriended them before I was saved. We have some in our church now. We have several in the church yet. Autistic boy. He's 30 plus years old. And he comes to me and goes, and he grows a little beard, and he grabs my hand and he makes me touch his beard. I said, man, I wish I could grow one like that, bro. So, you know, just cut up with him a little bit. Love on him a little bit. Then he started going around and he said, Daddy, Daddy. I said, son, don't tell anybody. I'm good. He started calling me Daddy. I don't know why. Love on him. You listen carefully, please. Emotionally and mentally handicapped are to be loved and nurtured, preacher, not teased. We have a whole generation of so-called Christian kids that actually tease the handicap. God help us, man. If we don't teach our children any better than that in our home, buddy, you got a full-fledged fool on your hands. This is crazy stuff. How about folks that might have went through a windshield doing 90 miles an hour, you know? Or how about the brother that comes out to the camp all the time, Don, who's been burnt all the way up? I asked him, I said, Don, how long have I known you? He said, preacher, you've known me 25 years. I said, you know, I've known you. I loved you just like anybody else. And to see him, he's kind of like, whoa, am I right, preacher? Just, chew. And he's burnt. I mean, he's burnt to crisp. I said, I've known you that long. I've never asked you what happened. I said, I was sitting with him. I said, what happened? He said, preacher, I was cleaning some parts, car parts down in the basement, and he said my mother innocently went up there and just flipped the thermostat up, and the heater went on downstairs in the basement. We were cleaning parts with gasoline, and it just blew up. I mean, he's burnt tremendously. I've never asked him. And then I asked him, I said, you get teased every now and again? He said, yes, sir. He said, but it's okay. See, they've gotten used to it. But the truth of the matter is, folks, we should never allow that in our home with kids that do such foolishness. It happens all over, by the way. Are you with me? Say amen.
Amen.
This is why we're having this disparity again with races and with people that are different, because we don't understand. We've never been taught decency, even in our churches, because of fools. Now, I'm saying there's some great people in this church, and nobody forced you to be here. You're here because you love the Lord, and I understand that, and maybe I'm preaching to the choir right now, but bless God, I'm just simply saying that we need to understand that we've got to train and teach our children. However, the Bible fool is one who is morally and spiritually deficient. We have people in our churches today, and preacher, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, even in Bible colleges sometimes, that are just absolutely morally and mentally deficient. What are they doing in Bible college not coming to serve the Lord? What are they doing? That? Just like Christian school. Do you understand the Christian school movement was started for only those who are called into full-time Christian work, not to have it open because you disagree with the public school system? Let me say that again so you'll understand. The Christian school movement was started that only full-time Christian people that were called to full-time Christian work was to come there. So what we've done, we open up to everybody, and now it's been diluted to the point where we're not seeing that, and then we actually have people come to our Bible colleges and our Christian school. It should not be there, and they infect and affect the school in a negative way. So folks, you need to understand that this is what happens many times when a person is morally and spiritually deficient. In other words, the problem is not with the head, it's with the heart. So see, the mentally ill or those that are mentally deficient, it's something to do with the head, some chromosome or something. Most people from Louisiana is like that, but anyway. And where I'm from, but it doesn't have to do with the head, it has to do with the heart, preacher. And when you got a person that's in our ministry, when you've had them and I had them, church our size, we've had down through the 39 years I've been there, we've had several. You just shake your head and said, what in the world are they missing? And it's a problem with the heart. See, a fool is a fool by choice. Parents many times inoculate foolishness into the heart of a child, sometimes unwittingly. No discipline. When a parent, and I can always tell the parents who do not discipline their children. They just don't. You can tell. This is why we go to restaurants sometimes, and this is what the child's bouncing off the stinking wall, throwing forks in the wall, throwing knives at one another, throwing food. And this is what the parents said. Oh, they didn't get their nap today. I can see my daddy and my mama saying that, but I didn't get my nap today. My daddy would make me take a nap real quick. Boom. We're not even training our children how to behave in public because we're not training them to behave in private. Now, you ain't fooling me, and mama can't fool me. She's a good woman. You married a good gal. You married a better gal than she married a better guy. We're four stinking knot-headed boys in that home, right? Four. Yeah, four knot-headed boys. There's always not peace and quiet in that place. I understand, especially with you. So I'm just simply saying that, boy, it's fun. And to play in the house, we played in our house. We did. It's not a museum. Our home is not a museum. You know, some parents want, you know, everybody sit on the couch with a little hands folded, a little Fauntleroy's. Bless God, it's a house. It's not a museum. Now, you got to be careful, right? When it rains, you know, kids are going to play in the house. This is why up north here, y'all got basements. Turn those little devils loose in the basement, bless God. Lock the door, right? But down south, we don't have basements. We actually put our house up on stilts because of the floods, right? Can't even bury somebody in the ground because they float. The caskets float. When they had that flood down there the other day, my mother-in-law went out, opened the door, and there was a stinking casket right outside of her door. And the nearest cemetery was a long way, miles away. That flood brought, it's crazy, man. Delivered old grandpa right there to the back door, man. But and we played a little bit, you know, in the house. And I remember. Some of you farm people might understand this, but we had some mice. You know, down in Louisiana where I'm from, we have cockroaches the size of VW bugs, man. They're huge. Y'all know what I'm talking about? They fly, too. They're huge. I saw one pull a switchblade on a mouse and took his cheese down there one time. They're huge. And so we used to shoot. Sometimes we'd be watching. Of course, I was remote control, right? But Dad, go change channel, son. We had two channels. So I was remote control. I had to go up. And the TV was always from like from here to there. I had to get up and go to the big old farmhouse. And I'd turn the channel and come back black and white, of course, at the time. And sometimes we'd have a little mice come out. And me and Dad would sit there with a BB gun and shoot them. My mother was get so stinking mad. That's farm stuff, right? That's just country stuff, right? So Daddy wanted to, I was playing with some Play-Doh one time, and Dad said, give me some of that stuff. So he balled up, and we started fighting in the house. Mama got mad. What are y'all doing? Get out of this house. Don't, you know, so. And then Daddy had already made rules, no outside the house, you know, we'll fight inside the house. So I grabbed my clay, and I ran out the front door, and I got behind a China ball tree. And I'm hiding like that. And Daddy comes out on the porch. And I said, he's done, buddy. I stepped out, boy, and I, boom, boom. I'm throwing. He was a boxer. My dad was a professional boxer, man. He's dodging, weaving. And I ain't touched him. And I'm out from the tree, boy, and I threw my last one. And I saw Daddy go. And I went, oh, and I turned. And he caught me right in the back of the head. How that man made that shot, I don't know. And he hit that nerve. I went down. And about that time, my mother saw me, and she saw me drop. She thought he killed me. She was okay with going back in the house. But those things happen. Those are okay. Those are fine. That's not foolishness. But as time went on, I began to go with the wrong crowd. And I watched my daddy and mama that were not Christians say some things and do some things that were bound up in my heart. And they came out. Are you with me? I got to shut it down. I'm sad. I'm not even on point number one yet. I'm just giving an introduction. What you're seeing in the United States of America, and if it doesn't upset you, something's wrong with you mentally, spiritually, and emotionally, where groups of people will go and bash and kill and rob and rape and loot and burn. If that don't bother you, you need to understand what you're looking at. They're fools. Their day's coming. One of these days, God Almighty is going to exact His judgment on every one of those sorry rascals. And we're going to see how that plays out. They're fools. And that's what I'm trying to say. Now, let me ask you a question. Why should we raise fools out of our churches? We've got to understand what the Scriptures say about it in our homes. And I'll be preaching to you men today because, bless God, if we'll never have revival until we have revival with the men, preacher, ever in this nation. This is why in third world countries I've been in a lot of times, the men are the ones who are leading the situation, even in their country, and yet the government is not allowing them to be what they need to be. But in America, man, we've been put on the back burner. American men are the dumbest ducks that's ever walked planet Earth, according to the advertisements, the commercials, and everything that we see. We can't even tie our stinking shoes. And if you don't understand the psychology behind that and what's going on in Hollywood on TV, that's just absolutely putting their foot on the neck of the masculine men today. This is why we're having a takeover, a communist socialist takeover. And if you're not seeing that, you will see it in short order. Because we're squelched the men, and some of you men will not stand up, and we'll talk about it a little bit. We've got to talk about it because it's so real. It's so real. And so I want you to get it because of fools. Now, let me give you this real quick and I will stop. Notice the three progressions here. Look in verse 22, 1:22, if you would please. Chapter 1, verse 22. There's a formative fool. How long, ye simple ones, we love simplicity and scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. Notice the three steps of progression of a person will pass through, preacher, before they become a full-fledged fool. Look at it. Simple. Then they gravitate to being a scorner. And then they become a full-fledged fool. Not a simpleton. Not a simpleton. Listen carefully, please. That mentally slow person, that retarded person, is a simpleton. They just don't know. Did you hear what I gave the definition? Well, just doesn't know any better. The children are simpletons. They just don't know any better. But a scorner is one who knows better but doesn't do better and then tears down all of those that are doing better. We have those all over the place. Right. And we need other. And then all of a sudden, a full-fledged fool that's going to criticize everything that's good, God, and right. And then the simple person is just a happy-go-lucky, open-minded, everything is good, all is good. This, it's all good. You hear that statement a lot. And then the fool hates knowledge, and they think they know it all. And that's when you got a real problem. We got folks that actually come to schools, colleges, and come different places that try to teach the teachers. We got people that come to churches sometimes think they know more than the man of God that God speaks to in His Word. And it's really sad. That is a fool. And folks, I'm telling you right now, we'll never have a revival at Old Paths or anywhere else until we understand this matter of who we're raising in our home, because our church will never be any stronger than our homes.
True.
And our homes will never be any better than what we have as a church. You have a good man of God, you got a good church here. You need to make sure our homes are right, for sure. Father, thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord, for giving us this wisdom, Lord, out of Proverbs, of the matter of fools and the simple and the scorner, Lord. And we want to flee from those and be the wise person, the prudent person, the person that really understands knowledge and have wisdom and understanding also. Lord, those three things. Pray that You'd bless and help the service come. Save the soul nearest hell. Revive backsliders. Thank You for these precious folks that came out for Sunday school. We ask in Jesus' name and amen. Bless you, brother.